Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. We'll read from verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness or hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. A husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Especially verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now we have seen over the last 3 weeks, Paul was encouraging Timothy in his work as in his pastoral work in Ephesus, and he uses the pictures of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. And we'll consider these and see how they apply not only to the work of the gospel preacher, but how they can be applied to all God's people in this world. Indeed, I thought that we've concluded. But then I considered verse 7, which in a sense is a conclusion to these three brief statements. I believe it would be profitable for us to consider it also. You'll notice how brief these three illustrations are. Paul gives us the pictures of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, but he doesn't actually apply them himself to Timothy. But he is anxious that Timothy should draw benefit from them. How easy it would be just to read them, to pass over them onto other things. How easy it is for us to read the Word of God and just to pass over and not really to get much benefit from it. And that would be true of the hearing of sermons as well. We hear a sermon, we may enjoy it at the time, but yet does it do us lasting good? People may speak of a great sermon. Well, what is it that makes it great? Is it because it tickles the ears? Or is it because it does lasting benefit to the hearer? Surely the latter is the case. And here, as Paul writes, he's anxious that Timothy, and the implication ourselves, should really benefit from the word. And therefore we find them saying, consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. He's showing us how we might profit from the word. And we might notice three things which are necessary if we are going to profit from God's word. The word read, the word heard, the word preached. First of all, there must be consideration. There must be consideration. He says, consider what I am saying. Consideration. What does he mean by that? Well, he means that we are to consider, ponder over these things with a view to understanding, because he goes on and says, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The Lord enable you to pull things together, to understand what is there, to see the relation of what is being spoken of to other things and to apply it. In other words, he does consideration in order that the person may benefit. And here are these lessons which he is to learn from the three pictures he has given of the soldier and the athlete and the farmer, that he is to be one who perseveres diligently in the work of the gospel, that he must exercise patience, that he must engage in the work with diligence. And what is true of the work of the gospel is true of the cultivation of our own soul, that we must be single-minded in devotion to Christ. A soldier who doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, and we please him with called him to be a soldier. It's telling him to put his mind to it. That literally is how you could translate the word consider. It comes from the word for mind. And so he's saying, put your mind to it. Think it through. Apply it to yourself. And yes, apply it in various situations. That the Lord may give you understanding in all things. We're called then to a mental activity which leads to blessing. You see, faith is based in knowledge. And if we're to grow in faith and in spiritual strength, then we have to grow in knowledge and in understanding. That involves putting our mind to it. Well, consideration. And how we need that consideration. Everyone has this need. You'll notice that. Here is Paul, and who's he writing to? He's not writing to a new convert. He's not writing to a church. He's writing to someone who by this time has been in the work of the gospel for some years. He is no longer a youth. He certainly is not a novice. He has been a diligent pastor. And yes, he does need a word of encouragement, but who doesn't? But it's to Timothy, the diligent pastor, who this is given. And surely, the lesson is, if Timothy needs that, to this reminder that profiting from the word just doesn't come automatically, we need to give ourselves to consideration. If he needs that, then you and I need that. That we must devote ourselves to consideration. We must put our mind to the things of God if we're going to profit from them. And it doesn't matter who the teacher is. Here's the Apostle Paul. Perhaps you think, well, if only I had Paul teaching me, what great strides I would need. Or if only I had Christ present, I'd been able to sit with his disciples. How I would have profited and prospered and grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. You remember, the disciples at times were very dull and slow to learn the gospel. You remember on one occasion, he said to them, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. Just a short time before, he had fed 5,000 and then 4,000 with a few loaves and fishes. He'd been able to provide bread where really there was virtually nothing. Could he not feed them? And yet what are they thinking when they hear the Lord speaking, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees? Is he speaking to us? Because we forgot to bring. Oh, how dull. And he complains about the dullness. How he was speaking of the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. The best of teachers end up speaking to people who were spiritually dull. Or we might put it this way. the best of God's people, times can be quite spiritually dull. The disciples, they seem so full of faith at times, yet spiritually dull. Timothy, you need to consider, put your mind to that. Indeed, consider this. The angels during the Old Testament period were aware of what was revealed in the Old Testament. Peter tells us that it was the Spirit of Christ who was revealing these things to the Old Testament church. And he says, as he speaks of the Old Testament revealing the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, he says, which things the angels desired to look into. And we're told that those sinless beings were giving themselves to the study of these things. And yet they themselves were struggling to grasp the reality of what was being revealed. It was only afterwards they understood. Well, don't you and I need to put our mind to it? Are we not to listen to Christ? Yes, he said it to the Jews, but at least we have said it to us. Search the scriptures. Are we not to be like the Bereans, who, when the Lord, when Paul had spoken to them, show that Jesus is the Christ, and search the scriptures daily? They put their mind to it to see if these things were so and to profit from. And we all need consideration. Why is that? Well, isn't it true that without this meditation, considering, minding the truth, it is lost to us, it escapes to us. Just as the sheep and the cows have to chew the cud, go over and over the same grass time and time again, think they're all the benefit from it. So you and I have to chew over God's word to consider it. Mere hearing will not do. You think of how just to hear once and not really bring it to mind, we might as well not been there. We might as well not have read. You think of how then we lose out. You think of how Thomas, who did not hear because he was not present on the evening of the resurrection in the upper room, how he missed out in seeing the risen Christ. And that tendency to doubt or unbelief or have a negative view of things. It was strengthened. He didn't personally benefit from the revelation given at that time. And we lose out when we do not consider these things. You think of our natural dullness, how slow we are by nature. Writer of the Hebrews, he was speaking of Christ, the Son of God. In chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. There's the problem. Yes, there are many things. There are hard things, but they're especially hard because you're dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have needed one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as of meat of milk and not of strong meat. how we, that natural dullness. How often we still seem to be at the ABCs when we should be making great progress in the things of God. How slow our hearts are to learn spiritual things. Isn't it true that when it comes to the things of Christ, it just seems such a difficulty to grasp them? Whereas ordinary things, earthly things, they seem so easy in comparison. We find it no difficulty to be alert and awake when it's to do with earthly things, and how the spirit of slumber seems to come over us when we're reading the Bible or listening to a sermon. It's a spiritual dullness that we tend to have. And you think of how the flesh wrestles against the spirit. How easy it is then to lose out. Now we need to be considering the truth. What does the flesh do? It tries to suppress unpalatable truths. It tries to deflect the application away from self. Well, we can see how a certain text speaks to someone else. I won't think too much of how it challenges me and speaks to me. Isn't that the way we naturally are? We have to suppress these things by giving consideration to the truth. I don't we need to give consideration because at the end of the day we are dealing with spiritual and high truths. Think of the mystery of God's greatness, of God's person, of God's attributes. There are things that we can speak of that we struggle to grasp. It takes a lot of consideration to think of them. When we speak of God being infinite, eternal, unchangeable, well, even to get a glimpse into these things, how we have to stop and consider and put our mind to it. Same goes for the doctrine of the Trinity. The same goes for the sovereignty of God and the glorious work of atonement. How easy it is for our thoughts to stray into error if we're not here. And you think of how the psalmist could say, as for thy commandments, they are exceeding broad. Well, if there is a breadth in the application of the commandments of God, unless we actually put our mind to it, we'll not realise that. We'll be quite content to be like the rich young man ticking off the list. There's the checklist. I've not broken that one. I've not broken this one. I've kept that one today. And yet, if we consider these things, we soon realize how broad the commandments are and the many ways in which we break them. You think of the many distractions the devil seeks to stir us, to deflect our minds with. He tries to snatch away the good seed of the word before it would do us good. How difficult. Unless we give ourselves and put our mind to the things of Christ, we won't really profit very much. We need, and we all need, consideration. Perhaps you have made progress. You've grown in grace and in knowledge. Don't look down on those who haven't progressed as well as you have. Remember, it takes time to learn. Remember that, especially when you're dealing with young converts and with new converts, if they are babes in Christ, they'll still be on the ABCs. They'll still be struggling with things and learning how to apply basic things to their lives. There's much to learn. Be patient with them and help bring them along. How then are we to consider? Well, the Catechism reminds us in question 90 of how the Word becomes effectual to salvation to us. And it tells us that we must attend to it with diligence, with preparation, with prayer, with faith, and with love. That's how we're to receive it, or to lay it up in our hearts, or to practice it in our lives. We're to give ourselves to the study then of the things of God. We're to pray for God's blessing. We're to come to the Word, expecting Christ to feed us. We're to come with meekness, that we might receive with meekness the engrafted Word that is able to save our soul. Become proud. We don't want to receive those things that we don't like. If we come with meekness, humbling ourselves, realizing we're before the Most High who is speaking, realizing we're before Christ, our beloved Saviour, who knows better, we'll receive whatever he says. Well, then let's give ourselves to give our mind, to put our mind to that. To give ourselves time to ponder God's Word. To give our time to ponder it as we read it. To ponder over it after we have read. To ponder over sermons after we have heard them. To remind ourselves of these things. And to relate it to other scriptures. Comparing scripture with scripture. We might understand what the scripture is teaching in the various subjects it speaks to us on. You know, it's very easy for us when we hear a sermon or read the scriptures to apply it to others, isn't it? That would be a good text for him. Well, I hope she's listening to what's been said here. Well, perhaps we can't help applying it to others. But this putting our mind to it really is saying, apply it to yourself. Apply it to yourself. See how it relates to your own life. Timothy have talked about a soldier, an athlete, a farmer. See what that means to you. Apply it to your own situation. And then it will do you good. Let us not just consider it ourselves whenever we are together. Let us consider it one with another. Indeed, of in the book of Malachi, those who feared the Lord, of how they met one with another. The Lord caused the book of remembrance to be written for those that feared the Lord and spoke often concerning his name. Takes pleasure in our mutual fellowship as we focus on the scripture and try and help one another along. It's one of the things that strengthens the faith of God's people as they discuss the things of God together. Let us do more of that. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. How often we may have forgotten a certain point in a sermon. Someone else reminds us as often, and it helps us to benefit. Consider what I say. He's saying, therefore, don't just hear the truth. Don't just assent to the truth, but embrace it, ponder over it, consider it, apply it to yourself. Lay it up in your heart. That you might be able to say, thy word I am, my heart hath hid, but I offend not thee. me not only to take care. What we hear, we need to be careful about how we hear. Consideration. And then secondly, God's blessing. God's blessing. You may be saying, well, it's all about us and what we are to do. And there's a sense in which that is true. But you'll notice how Paul speaks. Consider what I say, so you put your mind to it. He goes on and says, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. What's he indicating? It is that Paul, it is that Timothy has got ongoing work to do. He's going to benefit. But it's the Lord who's the source of understanding. The Lord give the understanding in all things. We must give ourselves diligently, but it's the Lord who gives the understanding. And both things go together. How we need the blessing of God. As indicated, the Lord give thee. Here is the gift of Christ. In other words, we are to look for the help of the Spirit. We're to rely upon him. We're to be aware that he alone can bless the word to us. And without his blessing, we shall receive nothing from the word. And the Baptist could say in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except he had be given him from heaven, from above. Well, it's the Spirit alone who blesses the word to us. And Christ teaches by the Spirit. Now, therefore, we need his presence and his help day by day. If you think of it, to grow spiritually in faith, to be able to understand spiritually so that we don't just assent to certain things and say, well, God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable, but actually means something to us. We embrace it by faith and it makes an impact upon us. It stirs our heart. It gives us something to rely upon. It gives us reason to praise. Well, that faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you think of the practical application of God's word, is it leads us to be kind and gentle and peaceable and loving. Well, again, these things are fruit of the Spirit. Well, if this is Spirit-given fruit, it means we need the Spirit himself to produce it within our souls. What do we need then? We need presence of the Blessed Spirit. He's described in Ephesians 1:17 as the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The same word understanding that you have in the verse 7. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. It's elsewhere he's called the spirit of wisdom and understanding. But it's the same thing. So, we need God's blessing. In other words, we must be resolved to have Christ by his Spirit to teach us. And it's then that we shall profit. As we come to the word read, as we come to the word preached, let our thought be, oh, that Christ would teach me by his Spirit. May we feel our need God's help. And we give encouragements to expect the blessing of God. Was not the Spirit himself sent by Christ to be the teacher of his church, that he would, by his Spirit, teach us and lead us into the truth? We have it in John 14, at verse 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. You have it in chapter 16 and verse 13. The Lord has said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. Were you brought to Christ? How were you brought to Christ? Was it not through the convicting work of the Spirit, as he convicted you of your sin and misery, enlightened you in the knowledge of Christ, and renewed your will? You were persuaded and enabled to embrace Christ offered to you in the gospel. And he is the one who convicted you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. It's his work. Remember the Lord in Matthew 11, that wonderful gospel offer, come unto me all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. It's interesting to note what precedes these words. There are words of woe pronounced upon the cities of Galilee because they had more privileges and yet had refused Christ. And in the middle of them, the Saviour himself makes that strange thanksgiving. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, so it seemed good in thy sight. That is, the Lord left them in their sin and he refused to take the scales from their eyes. He gave them over to judicial blindness because of their sin and rejection of him. The wise and the prudent who thought they knew better. They were so clever and smart. But to babes, he revealed himself. To those who were dependent, he revealed himself. Well, if you're depending on the Spirit, you can expect the blessing of God. Did Christ not give the Spirit? Did he not open the hearts of his disciples to understand the Scriptures? Did he not give him the Spirit that he might give us an experimental knowledge of the truth? He promised the Spirit to him. Has he not said his word will not return to him void? Well, he doesn't do half-hearted work. And he gives the word. He'll bless it to us. We can expect his blessing as we humble ourselves and consider, put our mind to it. He'll bless us in it. And as he has blessed you and helped you in the past, so he will continue to help you as you rely upon him. The past help of God and profiting from the word and progressing in knowledge and grace encourage us to rely upon the Spirit to continue to help us. You have a teachable frame as you approach God's word. You sit in judgment on the word. You'll get very far. You come looking for the Lord to open the truth to you, then you'll benefit from the word of God. Consideration, God's blessing. There's a third thing, prayer. Prayer. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Here's a prayer. The Lord give thee understanding. That's his desire, his wish, his prayer for them. Well, it's just like the prayer they had for the Ephesians. That the Lord would pour out on them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of them. You see, if we are aware that we need the Spirit, and we know that the Spirit is a gift of Christ, we know that, well, we must pray for his help. And it's only as we pray that we will know God's blessing. It's what the ministers do. Well, as they prepare, they pray. And once they finish their preparation, they pray that God would bless that word. And once they preach, they pray that God would apply that seed sown and bless the word. They know what we plant and Apollos we water. God alone gives the increase. They know that what matters isn't how people immediately respond, but rather the blessing of God in the long term. Whether it actually brings forth fruit in the lives of people. You and I, well, as we read the word for ourselves, surely we must pray as we read that word. That shows our dependence on the Spirit. That shows us our awareness that we need the Lord's giving us understanding in all things. It shows. And it encourages a teachable frame for saying, help me to understand. Then immediately we should be saying, how I need that, and I'm willing to receive whatever I'm told. And so we must pray for ourselves. We must pray for those who preach. For we know that it's the blessing of God upon the preached word that alone will make it an effectual, a powerful means of salvation. The gathering of sinners into the kingdom and our growth in grace. Now, haven't we many encouragements to pray? Many promises of the help of the Spirit? Are we not told that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The knowledge of his covenant he will to them afford. Well, as we fear God, as we come humbly waiting upon God, will they not open to our minds, to our hearts, the secrets of the things of God? Has he not said to us, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you? You know, it said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all men liberally. He does not believe. What encouragements to prayer. Indeed, having been the command of Christ, he said to the church at Laodicea, who thought they were so wonderful, they didn't need anything. He said, you're blind. But they were counseled by eyesalve from that which would heal their eyes and give them clear sight. Well, Christ commands us to seek these things. He offers the help of the Spirit, an encouragement to pray. Will he withhold them? And he says, I'll give you the eyesalve, I'll give you the thing that will help you to see clear. Has he not given us many examples of people praying in the scriptures for God's help and answers given to those prayers. You get the psalmist, open thou mine eyes that I might understand the wonders of thy law. Let us be a people then. Consider, put their mind to it, and pray that the Lord would give us understanding in all things. If we would profit from God's word daily, if we would profit from sermons week by week, let us put our mind to it and pray that God would bless it to us. Let us pray. Lord, thou alone canst bless thy truth. We pray that thou wouldst give us a deeper appetite for the things of God. Enable us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to be diligent in our considering the things of God, and that we would know thy blessing upon us. We thank thee for all thy promises. Help us to plead them. Do thou answer above and beyond our asking, for Jesus' sake. Amen.